games industry is worth over $90 billion. With a worldwide audience, one breakout success can make you a fortune overnight. In Australia, one little Brisbane-based company has done just that.
If you want to be successful as a mobile game developer, you absolutely positively need a hit. And Half-Brick had three back-to-back. Age of Zombies, Jetpack Joyride, and then they had Fruit Ninja.
In 2001, Shanil Dio and five of his game developer friends founded Half-Brick Studios in Brisbane. In June 2015, Half-Brick announced a Fruit Ninja animated series with YouTube, and in September 2016, New Line Studios announced a Fruit Ninja movie deal. Throughout this time, from 2001 to 2016, there have been numerous personnel changes. So much so, that of the original six, only Shanil Dio remains. Half-Brick is the subject of a new Brisbane-based documentary, Play to Win, with a sneak preview screening on Monday, November 14 at Palace Cinemas, down on James Street in the Valley. Today I'm speaking with one of the directors, Sue Swinburne. I wanted to know what makes Half-Brick's story so interesting.
The story of Half-Brick is a really interesting way to explore a kind of contemporary culture around games. I think games perhaps traditionally were regarded as a kind of niche activity for, you know, for kind of a small section of the population. But I think the advent of smartphones and their kind of ubiquity has meant that gaming as a cultural pastime has become a very mainstream activity. But I think the games industry and the creative process behind making games is still something that really we haven't had a conversation about in the mainstream. And I think the success of Half-Brick and the kind of journey that they've been on provides a really wonderful opportunity for us to really explore, you know, what games mean, both in a kind of contemporary sense to us as players, but also as a creative and a commercial endeavour as well.
I'd heard about Half-Brick in 2010 after Fruit Ninja had gone ballistic or viral or whatever you want to call it. But the company had been around for 9 years by then. So what was happening in that 9 years? What was that journey, and did anything change to make them kind of go on that trajectory?
I guess when Half-Brick first started out, it was a really interesting moment in Brisbane's history, and I guess in the history of the games industry, which was kind of this wonderful confluence of circumstances where there was a low Australian dollar. There were people coming out of various educational institutions in Brisbane who had technical and creative skills as game makers, and it was a very kind of flush time in the global economy. So lots of big international companies actually came to Brisbane and set up shop here and took advantage of the low Australian dollar and the kind of relatively cheap labour that that afforded them, but also the pool of talent that was growing here. And Half-Brick, I guess, was, you know, they were a part of that particular era. That was when the company began. And they set up a few other companies as a service provider. They took on work from the kind of big companies and just churned out games for other publishers. And at that stage, you know, they were just trying to keep afloat. They weren't necessarily making their own intellectual property. They were not making their own games. It was not an easy time for them. It was a struggle, but they managed to survive. And I guess what transformed their fortunes was the arrival of the smartphone, which effectively put a gaming console into the pocket of millions and millions of consumers all around the world, and created an opportunity for companies like Half-Brick to suddenly access a much wider audience and to also produce games that were much simpler and cheaper to produce than the bigger games for consoles that had dominated the market up until that time.
How big is, or how large is Half-Brick now? How many employees does it have? Because it seemed to start with six.
Half-Brick's a really substantial company. They've got around 80 or 90 employees in Brisbane at the moment. They've also got staff based over in Los Angeles who are working on developing their games into film and television properties now. In terms of their physical size, it probably actually hasn't changed that much in the last 3 years since we've been filming with them, but their business has, in terms of the kinds of people that are working there, has started to diversify quite a lot.
It seems like Half-Brick has a difficult decision to make right now. Could you explain some of the tensions outlined in the film?
What an audience will learn from watching the film, I think it's an exploration of some tensions that I really felt in lots of businesses and in lots of creative sectors. I think increasingly there's a tension between how we maintain a kind of commitment to an ethos of creativity and an attachment to a particular way of making our work, and how you maintain that in a commercial environment that is constantly changing with the evolution of technology. So all of those pressures and constant disruption means that, particularly in a company that became quite large as Half Brick did, it becomes a very hungry beast to feed. And so commercial imperatives become quite urgent, and how you maintain that while you're still adhering to a set of creative ideals that maybe you started out with, I think that's really difficult. When they started out, it was just a really small group of guys, and the pressure on them at that stage was to survive and to make work that allowed them to keep the doors open and the lights on. When companies grow, so do the demands on revenue. So that means that it becomes very difficult to rely on the kind of throw of the dice of, is this game going to be a hit? And you have to look for sources of revenue that are less risky and more dependable.
I just wanted to jump back to the film now. Did Half Brick approach you, or did you approach them?
I was invited into Half Brick as an artist in residence for a very short period of time back in 2013. After a couple of weeks of being in the company, as I say, it became clear to me that they were going into a time that was going to be incredibly challenging for them. There was a really stark choice that the company was approaching, and a really compelling one, I think, not just on a commercial and a creative level, but also personally. I found the idea that here were these people who had really formed a fantastic company based on friendship and on loyalty and on a passion for a creative endeavor. And here were these commercial forces that were being brought to bear on this company. And for me, it was really compelling to see how they were going to survive this crunch, and particularly the personal cost to Chanel Dio as he went through that process, and actually see up close what it means to an individual to be an entrepreneur and what the cost is to him as a person.
There is a sneak preview screening next week here in Brisbane, Monday the 14th of November. Could you give us those details, please?
We're really excited that on Monday the 14th at 7 p.m. at Palace Centro, there'll be a sneak preview screening ahead of its ABC broadcast. This is a very Brisbane film. It's set on the global stage. We travelled to Shanghai, to New York, to Los Angeles, but fundamentally this is a story that has its heart and soul in Brisbane. Tickets are available through our Facebook page. We're also really excited that Chanel Dio and Ben Vale from the film are going to be with Mick and I in a Q&A after the film, so it'll be great for everybody to have a chance to watch the film and then discuss it with those guys and with us as filmmakers.
That was Sue Swinburne, co-director of Play to Win, a new documentary film about Brisbane-based Half Brick Studios. For more information about the sneak preview screening, go to Play to Win's Facebook page. Just search Play to Win. You're listening to 4ZZZ FM's Brisbane Line.